Wounded in battle. Rosie used to sing in the choir, but no longer sing in the choir. Rosie used to carry a Bible, no longer have a Bible under her arm. Jim, it used to be faithful to church and be a blessing to others, but somehow or another, I got gripped and fell in the muck and the mire and the fraud, the spawn, and the sin of idleness and the intention and fell by the wayside. Those cast sheep, those stray lambs, those that are fallen in the race for Jesus Christ. I want to think about them. And you know, I love to see new people come into church. It thrills my soul to stand up here on Sunday morning or back there and see people walk in that door that I ain't never seen before. That's a thrill to any pastor's heart when you see these people come in on Sunday morning, lift that one under this arm and one under this arm and say, "Preacher, I'd like you to meet so and so." That's a thrill to a preacher's heart. You know, a Christian can be happy and be sad at the same time. And many times, even though I'm shouting because of the new blood and the new souls that come in and the people that come to the altar and get saved, many times my heart's hurting, my stomach's sick, my soul's aching over those that used to be in serving God but are not here, that are not here, they're not here. Every church has got them. Every church has got them. Every church has got those who used to have the victory, who used to be on fire for God. Oh, I don't know what to say tonight. I don't know what to say. This thing's eating me up. For the last few weeks, brother, this thing's been on me so heavy. It's been coming on now for quite a while. I believe something needs to be done about it. I believe we as a church need to have a heart toward those that are fallen. I'm talking about the pastor, but I'm down to the smallest children in the house tonight. I'm talking about me. You know, I've never been the type of person. I've always been the type of person that I've been hard. And a lot of times I'll be walking with a brother, and that brother will fall and backslide. And it's the hardest thing in the world for me to have the right attitude towards that brother. It's hot. The flesh don't like it. When somebody else falls and you don't fall, it's the most natural thing in the world to go over and put your foot down on them and smash them on down, Father. It's just natural. I mean, it's something that we're going to have to. It's something that we need. Listen, there'd probably be 50 more people in this room tonight if we as a church had acted toward those that have fallen the way we should have acted. All I've had them tell me time after time after time. Brother Dean, I asked him, "Why did you quit church?" And I said, "Well, I went back a time or two, and everybody looked at me like I was the awfulest thing in the world, and nobody spoke to me. I had to sit by myself. They didn't invite me back. They didn't let me. Now, I know that a lot of times that's unintentional. And I tell you, brother, that's something a church needs to be conscious about. That's something, I mean, when a man's down, brother, he needs somebody to lift him up. When a woman's down, they need somebody to pick him up, not put him on down further. I've been guilty of it. I've had to repent of it, and don't convict in my heart. A lot of times I'll say, well, bless God, they know what they ought to do. They ought to get in there and straighten up. And that's true. But that's no way for us to act toward them, because the Bible says you've got to consider yourself. You ought to be in the same bed dying one day if you ain't awful careful. I think the Church of Jesus tonight as a whole has the wrong attitude towards backsliding. Those that are messed up and sick. Put down our long, super spiritual noses at them. As if to say, well, you dirty, good for nothing thing. You're a sinner and I'm not a sinner. You fell and I didn't fall. I tell you, if I'm walking down the road and me and Brother Dale walking down the road here, I'm looking at Jesus, he's looking at me. All of a sudden, he falls down flat. If I start looking at him, what am I going to do? I'm going to fret. And the Bible says, consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And what he's saying is, if we don't have the right attitude for those that are fallen, we're liable to fall. We're liable to fall worse than me. I'm going to say tonight, I can't stand this big eye in you. It's not a God. This attitude of I'm better than you are, I'm holier than you are, that's an abomination of God. I'll tell you, brother, it's sickness in the sight of God. This big eye, little you, Christianity, where if you're not in the inner group, I say, that thing's almost happened here, she said. By the grace of God, we're not going to turn this thing into a bunch of clicks. You know what? You know why the average person can't feel welcome in most churches? Because most churches got little clicks. And this little group hangs around their friends, and this little group hangs around their friends. They got a certain little set of ideas. This other got a certain little set of ideas. And brother, they shun one another. They'll walk over on the other side and keep shaking each other's hands. And brother, just full of the devil, full of the devil, and claim they're ready to strap wings and fly away, and can't even get along with somebody that ain't the same color shoe string they've got. I want to show you a few places in the Bible tonight. I'm going to illustrate this verse. I don't even know if I've ever heard anybody preach. Lord, give me this message. I wrote most of this down. This actually is my house. Turn the Bible to the book of Luke, chapter 15. The story of the prodigal son. I've heard sermon after sermon after sermon on the prodigal son. And briefly, let me recount the story right quick. Now listen, this message ain't going to be his eye catching, his ear catching, his tongue, so y'all listen on purpose. Listen. The prodigal son ran away from home. Him and his brother, probably maybe shared the same room with him. He was growing up, they had family pretty well off. And his brother was older than he was the younger. And somehow or another, this boy got to thinking. He got to listen to the radio, read the magazines, hearing about the far country. He said he wanted to go. And so he forsook the family, forsook his brother, forsook his daddy, forsook his mother, forsook the homeland, and went off to a far country and wasted his substance with riotous living. And the other boy stayed home with his father. His other boy stayed right with his daddy and worked hard for his daddy. Now, somebody in here tell me what that's a picture of. That's a picture of two Christians serving God. And one of them, now you can make that a type of all kinds of things, I didn't see that in this field. One of them goes off and messes up his life. The other one stays in the Father. I want you to notice the attitude this elder brother had towards his younger brother when that boy comes home. How many old boys been out there in the swamp and the hog filth? And he's been out there and had old hog vomit, man, all over himself, and his hair glued together, his stomach like a hog's penis, and here he's coming in there like this, and the father seen him afar off, and came and threw his arms around his neck. That's the father. That's the father. I don't think the rest of the family did that. Ain't you glad God don't treat that slider like we treat him? I mean, ain't you glad the father didn't step here and say, well, I'll see if you mean business before I put my arms around you. Get that mess cleaned up. I ain't had no fellowship with you. Get that puke out of your hair. Why didn't you get some clean clothes on? How somebody see me out here running around with you and you dressed like that? For the father, his love overcame his hatred of his sin. His love overcame his the way that boy had lived. He didn't approve of it. He didn't like it. But I tell you, his love overcome what that boy had done. And so an old man threw his arms around his neck and hugged him and put a ring on his finger and killed us at his desk. And he went to the safe house. And he had a big old music player. And he had a wonderful thing to sing to me. I don't know if anybody ever thinks about this story. And the little boy came back and got knocked. All right, now there's several things that jumped out to me in this picture. Verse 25. Let's read the whole verse. Now his father, his elder son, was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dance, and he called one of the servants and asked what he came to do. Well, I don't read that again, so hold your place. Here he comes. He's been out in the field working. He hears a big celebration going on at the house. He says, what's going on over there? They say, your brother's come home. Your brother's come home. And daddy's having a party for us. What are you thinking about? What are you in a party? I don't see another son. Look at verse 25. If you don't read it close. It's the word of God now. And it comes in itself. It's for you. Watch it close. You got a pencil? Mark these words. Now he is elder. What does that mean? Anybody know? That means he's older than that guy, right? He has been with the Father longer than that guy has. Stop right there. Here's a man that has been saved longer than this other guy has. The longer you've been saved, the more chances and possibility are you committing this sin I'm talking about. Most of the time, young Christians will accept each other pretty good. That's you've been saved a while. You forgot where God brought you from. You forgot how low down sorry you were before God saved your soul. The elder. And then I want you to notice something else. That's the next word. Son. He's a Christian. Oh, yeah. He's a Christian. Look here. Was in the field. He's doing something for his father. He was out in the field. He was out getting the job done. I tell you, the most likely people to commit this sin tonight that I'm talking about are elder, established Christians that are in the field doing something. Those are soul winners. Those that are witnessing on the job. Those that are trying to live a dedicated life. Those that are maybe working on buses or maybe teaching Sunday school. That are preaching or that are teaching. That's for you young preachers. You're the most likely bunch in here to commit this sin. That'd be the easiest thing in the world. You've been out here sweating, laboring for God. I'm going to hell on something right here. You hear me? I'm going to hell on something right here. You know what it's like? It's almost like, well, here I have been out working in the field now, man. And he gets to go out there and do all them things that I don't get to do. And have this attitude of mine. Good enough. They've been out back then, drunk, smoking pot, and everything else. And when they come back to church, everybody makes a big to-do over them. And I've been serving God all these years, and they ain't never give me a party. Say amen. I'll tell you tonight, brother, that's a shift. That's just a bit of his attitude for his mother. Well, that's what he said. He's been in the field, man. He's been out getting a job done for his daddy. And zoomed out of the house, and he heard. And he heard. Well, I heard that so-and-so was a deacon in that church. And I heard that they done this, that they done that, that if they can still be a deacon in that church, or Brother Daniel still let that guy free, or he let her teach after what she done, blah, blah, blah. He heard. He heard. I heard this, and I heard that, and he heard me. Music and dancing. Now listen, he heard me now rejoicing in the living life. I'll say something now. Lord, you back me up. There's something wrong with Christians that don't like to hear rejoicing. There's something wrong. There's something wrong. I mean, if they don't like rejoicing and the victory and seeing people getting knocked, brother, there's something wrong. There's something. I don't know what it is. I couldn't put my finger on it. I'll guarantee you one thing, brother. When they hear that music and they something wrong. You heard music and dancing? And look here, what it does. And he called one of the things. Underline that word, call. You didn't know it was in there, did you? Call. As soon as he found out what was going on, he went straight to that telephone. That's one of the most ungodly things. You think? I mean, we talk about television, man. It ain't done half as good as some person's telephones have. You know, they don't say telephone, tell a guy, tell a woman. About the same thing. I tell you, brother, it's telephone. Them telephones have been used to stir up more hell than most churches have all things ever have. He was in such a hurry, he passed up the one that had to dial and got his digital phone. And called one of them. Oh, he didn't do that. But fire that to you, this is an elementary interpretation, but it's literal, and I'm using it symbolically to help you. I'm not giving you theological discourse for this story. I'm giving you an inspirational preaching message off of it. He called one of them and asked, what? Hey, girl. stuff. I heard that so-and-so had come back home. And I heard it's just making a big to-do over him. And I heard the music station in the house. And I heard Daddy's sick state and everything else. And making a big fuss over him, put a ring on his finger and a robe on his feet. And I tell you, I've been down there at that church for a long time. Is this true? Could you tell me if this is... Barnett. He might put a rope on his feet. He might need to wipe his feet off. No, he put the rope on him somewhere. And he put a ring on his finger. And a hat on his head. All right. And he said, and I heard him. I even heard they're going to restore him in his position. And what I heard, what does this mean? It ain't my brother. He's a Christian. I ain't one. We just devour by living with harlots. I ain't living to save and devour your living with harlots. Now they're still for him, he said. And the father looked at him and said, you that have next to you. And he said to him, son, thou art ever with me. And all that I have. It was me. He said, well, I came to this. He said, that man was right. But my brother is dead. He's alive. This summer he's dead. He's alive. He's alive.
Hating people is like burning down your house.
Get rid of the rat.
You might get rid of the rat. People do yourself more than
you. I think tonight we leave the church. I want to ask God to put a love in our heart. Our brother and our sister, and we cried tonight. I feel like he's saved my mind. I'm keeping the call of him.
Oh, I don't want to interfere.
Well, I don't either. There's a way you can help somebody who's down and out without being lonely, without being smart.
There's a young lady coming. I've been seeing her the other day.
He's coming to us all the time. He's not coming to us. And when I see her, that day, Lord, help me, I'll try to tell you about that.
I could have been a militant, fundamentalist attack.
Well, what you going to say the way you're living now? I tell you right now, you have a human spirit. I'm sorry. Lord, help me. And I said, there's some of my brothers out and out.
It's my sister.
That
used
to
son
of
God.
That
used
to
David.
That
used
to
wife.
You're out. Out.
Out.
What are we going to do about it? I hate the money that I need to do. And I know. Somebody asked me where my back is. I don't want to spend my money to do the business. I do a lot of times when people try to search for a while. Maybe 1 minute, 5 weeks, 5 weeks, nothing.
Now, if you try, then I'd say, I don't want your help. Leave me alone. And all that stuff.
You're wondering why I'm giving up.
I know I've been giving up. I know I have. I always say, well, you got yourself in that mess. Why didn't you get yourself out?
You know, that's an old man. I love him like that. I know the man. I know the man right now. He's not me. I'm not him. I know him. He's my friend.
I guarantee that right now.
I guarantee I can call him tomorrow night. At 3 o'clock tonight, he said, brother, I need your license. My passport can you come in? I guarantee you.
I guarantee you. Me and him called me so. He went to church with him many times. We tried together. I'm trying to help him.
The Bible says a man will be taken to fall. In the spirit. Let's look at that news with the spirit of the year. Look at Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 6. And in Galatians chapter 6, who's going to do the restoring? Now, a bunch of people that ain't spiritual, if they go try to jump on the back of the rider, they'll drive him gone. The Bible said if a man be overtaken in a fault, maybe one of our brothers and sisters falls out of church and they quit. Ye which are spiritual. And who's that?
I thought, what is being spiritual?
I don't know. I don't know what.
Somebody said, oh, being spiritual, but they is giving up this and that. No.
I believe you can give up that.
I know some, Mother. I know some people. They don't drink. They don't smoke. They don't wear a long hair. They don't go to the movies. And son, they're just as full of them. And so some are drunk. And we always talk. What was your name? Define it for me, preacher.
I can't. Well, I don't know.
I know when somebody got it. but you can't put your finger on what it is. I can point out two people in here tonight that I think are spiritual people, but I couldn't really pinpoint what makes them spiritual. It's kind of like that old black preacher that used to get up every Sunday morning and preach. And he hadn't been preaching long, and he had his first sermon, and he'd preach a little bit, and every Sunday morning he called on his own deacon to pray. And his own deacon every Sunday morning he'd say, Lord, give I preacher. Lord, give I preacher. And he prayed that prayer. Next Sunday morning, he said, Brother Stone, would you lead us to prayer before the message? Lord, give our preacher unction. Give our preacher unction, Lord. And every Sunday, he said that same prayer. And one day, somebody comes in one time and he says, Brother, you've been praying for our preacher to have this unction. All we do. He said, just what is that thy unction? That old brother said, I don't know what it is, but I know what it is now. And everyone, you can't tell what unction is. But when the day the meal, when he looked me up, he said, you don't know, nobody knows what unction is. You can sure tell when a preacher ain't got it. If we call it being plugged in, that's about as close as I've done it. You know, say, well, sure, he's plugged in the other night. You know, I guess it's when the Lord's flowing through you, the Spirit's working through you, and your life's clean like a pipeline. I don't really know what it is. But I know what it ain't. And being spiritual, same thing. I don't really know what it is. But I know there's a bunch of stuff that ain't spiritual going on. I know that. All right, you with your spirit. If you're not like yourself, leave them alone. I've seen people in a church, and one of the women backslide. Maybe some woman got herself messed up, or maybe one of the brothers fell and got out of church, and here comes Mr. Smith. Fast your mouth over there, and she's going to straighten her out. And she goes over there and says, I just think you're terrible on what you've done. How did you know that I'm tired? Most people at backslide wouldn't say backslide to do accident. But what happens is they see him and get out, and Lord help us, we'll make it worse on them by firing at them, by talking about them, and when they come walking in the room, turn our heads, and y'all need to, just like that, there ain't no wonder some of them quit. I mean, they shouldn't, but it ain't no wonder. You want to see. All right, what is the next part of the verse next? Restore. What does the word restore mean? I've heard people say, I'm going to restore this antique. I'm going to restore this saddle. What does that mean? It means to bring back to its original or former condition. Make it like it was when it was used. Here's a Christian. He's up here serving God. He's awesome. He's in sin. You need your spiritual restore. If you get back up here, where he was. In the spirit of you. Don't say, what are you doing in the mud? You shame the name of Jesus. Don't you shame it? He knows he's saying the name of Jesus. He knows all these things. He knows all that you want to say. What does meekness mean? Courteous, kind, merciful, patient, mild, and not easily angry. Not easy to get mad at him. When it doesn't roll, it needs to get mad. Boy, I get mad. Here the other night, some girl done a disco. And no Mrs. Bell had. And he got up there and said, this one's dope, you know this? And she goes, so you mad about it? That's the second time that's happened. One year, girl that wanted none of this stuff. Y'all know how I hate this show. I mean, literally, I'd rather them say I'll live in a fool. That makes me mad. Why you not? Why you? No, that ain't the way to go. I mean, she didn't know no better. That's her parents' fault. She's just learning they don't know no better because they ain't talk no better. We're not supposed to get mad at them. Brady said the other night. It's the funniest thing. Brady said that's how Walton believes by Betty Gunner. Now we're going to pull away. And playing had been so. You look at, he said he got a Bible to him and brought in a bunch of kids off the street. He said he got up and started saying that Walton believes by Betty Gunner. They got out the house of dancing, man. They got the Walton believes by Betty Gunner. He said they went. He said he didn't know what to do. And he said he'd like her saying, hey, that's pretty good. That's good. They was bugging, brother, in the house. And the Lord gave Brother Brady wisdom. And he said, I didn't say nothing to him that night. He said, the next night I come back, and he said, I'm stuck in. There's a difference between rock music and gospel music. And he tried to explain to me. That's what I'd add to you. I was in church one night, and a bunch of kids came out and got saved. Two girls came out and got saved. These two girls had on these ears. These guys. I've seen it, heard it from my own ears. These guys and I thought, you girls get saved tonight? Yes, I'm scared of death. First time you ever been out in front of a church, I mean, you got a hell of a heart attack somebody. Now, if you girls got saved, you go home and get them things off. You come in and get dressed right. I heard that when I only pastor in this town. He wanted everybody to know he wasn't talking. So you know what? I think that some of the brethren are so afraid of compromising that they have compromised to please their friends and not pleasing God. Brother, you can be sincere of compromising, you'll compromise. Please, that crowd you run around with. You want to spare it. We have a minute now. Is any one of our people going to hell and unspiritual and spiritual body of God? Not so. It ain't no. You go in there with church and preach about them things tonight and try it all to these people. You try the whole thing on. This is an exceptional church. I mean, we're a long way from perfect, man. You ought to go to some of them. I mean, you know what? I think everybody in this church ought to do about once a year. Take you a vacation. Go drive another road to one and stop and visit the first Baptist church you come to. Good for your education. Especially some of you that ain't never been nowhere but here. You talk about a shot, man. You'd be in for one. Well, let me move on back. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Talking about restoring the brother. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, this story here, Paul was writing to him about inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He was talking about a man that's sinning. Now, some preachers teach that this is talking about the man that committed fornication back there in the first century society, and that very well may be. Matter of fact, I believe it probably is. I can't prove it, but I believe it probably was. How many of you know about the man in the first century society who was committing fornication in the church? All right, most of you don't know, I'll tell you. In the church, there was a guy living in open sin with his stepmother. I mean, his daddy's wife. Just to make one thing, everybody in the church knew that she was going to be. And he told him in 1 Corinthians 5 to deliver him over to the devil, that his flesh may be destroyed. Now, there's a lesson there, folks. When we're going to restore somebody back to him, we don't compromise women to get on the side. We don't put our finger on their sin. That's a no-no. That's a no-no. We don't go buddy-buddy up there and say, well, I'm going to do it. That's the wrong way. impression. You don't go along with them in their sin. You love them in spite of their sin. They know that you don't approve of, but you put your sin and you care about them and love them anyway. You don't go over and give them this attitude that you and you are going to say goodbye. No, that's wrong. You ain't going to restore them that way. You're not going to get them out of the mud by getting in the mud with them. See? You're going to go down there and help them out of the mud. If you get down in there with them, you're going to have to get somebody to help you out. So he said, turn them over to the devil. He ain't going to straighten up and the Lord get him, maybe so. But, in all probability, that old boy got lost. And rededicated his life. Because look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, I wrote you a letter, and you made you sorry, and this and that, and all this stuff. Verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4. Everybody look at it now. I'm going to plow right on through the words in just a second. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears. He said, I was crying when I wrote this first letter to you. I was crying. Tears! Not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly than you. Verse 5. But if any have caused grief for my sin in the church, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Look at that now, verse 6. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of me. His punishment is being damaged. Verse 7. So that contrary wise, ye ought rather to forgive him. Lest perhaps such an one should be swallowed up and overmuch sorrow. Somebody sins, and then they're trying to get light, they've been backslid, and you make it hard on them, their life will just say, oh, I forsook my sins, I left my sinful friends, you're against me, now the devil's against me, my own Christian friends are against me, follow me, and they're swallowed up. They're overmuch sorrow. And it's never up. I believe there's been many Christians right here right now saying, just say, give up. Because people never would forgive them for what they've done wrong.
Oh, you say, Brother Gang, they have no right.
I know they have no right. You ain't had no right to do a lot of things you've done.
I ain't had no right to do a lot of things I've done.
There's been times when you people, you've had the right to kick me out of this place.
I ain't had no right to stand behind this place with this.
Thank God. Pick some people in this house. I'm about to kick some of you out too, you know. Verse 8. Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love for me. For this end also did I write. Now think about that one fact here right now. It's not here. For this end also did I write that I might know the proof of you, whether you will be obedient in all things. Who needs to give anything? I forgive also, or if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sake, forgave it, I'm a person of Christ, and lo and behold, look what we're running into about this discussion. Lest Satan should give him advantage of it. That's how that heaven is. Isn't that amazing that that corresponds with Galatians chapter 6 that says, lest you also be tempted? Isn't that amazing?
He just up through talking about restoring a brother and forgetting, and the next verse says,
The devil! If they built 500 liquor stores for marriage, it couldn't hurt this church one day.
If they sold drugs on every street in this town,
it couldn't stop this church. One thing stopped this church. And that's what the
devil can't touch this church from the outside, brother. It's bulletproof. They can criticize us all they want to criticize us. They can lie about us. They can cuss us. I mean, they can pray that we'd die.
We will never hurt this church. The only thing that will hurt this church is for us to let the devil get in us.
Me to let the devil get in me. You to let the devil get in you. That's it. There ain't nothing else that can hurt this church.
Brother, God will protect us when we want to be protected. The only way to get in us is
willingly let the devil get in us. Get sour. Get satisfied. anarchy is not a Christian spirit.
Well, turn out this man in prison, brother. Nobody cares. And one day, there's a little tack in the floor, and he'll get a kind of green plant to do it through that tack. He kept it in one more and one more, and he took a little bit of his water that they gave him every day. His water. That one grew up, 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 put it on that cloud, and he could give us our loss of that thing. Like I put there in this cloud. Scratched out, nobody could. Got up in this room. And here about that, while you're looking down the thing, you can find it. Probably there's three things I would never do that. I can't remember the back. You want to survive three things. Number one, the last thing. Not anything.
Hey, there's a soldier in Japan when the war was over, and when he came up, Japan was losing. He got off and went out on an island because he was afraid.
And for 28 years, about 27 years, I guess, the war was over. He stayed up on that island. He ate laps, fish. Anything he could get a hold of to stay alive, and it ate to his because it scared him at the end of the year. It was 20-something years ago, by the way. Wasted. I believe the people out there tonight, just going out there scared of who. They don't realize the Lord's already forgiven them. They need to do it. They just got in. Somebody has to tell them.
What should I do? Not one of the things. When we think about the things. How could she? How could he?
I couldn't have to do it. And you could.
Now, some of you don't get this message tonight, you're going to mess up. Some of you've already sitting there and asking.
I ain't going to look. Okay, Mr. Bruce, stop.
You say it's hard!
Real hard. I just apologized to a man a couple weeks ago for something I'd done a few years ago. You talking about hard? It was hard. He's the type of fellow that I couldn't stand a thought of humbling myself in front of him. The Lord been dealing with me about it for a long time, and I was told I was sorry for something I said to him. He's a preacher, too.
Don't you think that's hard? I didn't
want to
do that. I couldn't stand the
thought of it. There comes a time when you got to make up your mind. You want God's blessings on you? You want to do that with God? Or do you want to just, you know, worry about yourself the rest of your life? I bet that'd been hard for that Carter's brother to go in there and help his brothers, man. You know he'd had to pray a while before he could have done that.
Right attitude. And then the right action. Our behavior. The good Samaritan went to him and bound up his wound.
I say, how about me? I heard about this man. He and his wife got divorced.
And they done got a divorce, and lo and behold, fell in love again and started dating to get married. And during this time, they had a big fuss, and he shot her 13 times. I mean, when I see 13 bullets in her, brother.
Once he went to prison, and you know what they done? They kept going together and they got married. He shot her 13 times, man. They'd done been divorced, started dating again. He shot her, filled her full of bullets, and she still forgave him.
Something, you know what? Now, wouldn't it be good if we loved our brothers and sisters that much? Please, some of you, anybody in here been shot by a Christian brother or sister in your Christian, raise your hand if you've been shot by a Christian. I don't mean with a bullet. I mean with a tongue or with a dick. Anybody in here been shot with that, raise your hand. I have. I raised my hand. I don't know about y'all. I've been laid low, brother. All right. How'd you handle it? Here's how I love him, Henry. Well, I forgive him. But I'll tell you one thing. I'll never forgive him.
What some forgiveness you got there? Honey,
what if you come up here and got saved? What if you come up here and say, oh, God, forgive me my sin? And the Lord said, I forgive you, but I'll never speak to you again. And the Lord never dealt with you no more. He never blessed you no more. He said, I'll see you in heaven. Make it the best you can. Bye. And then I came up to heaven, Henry, when he preached to you. You kind of think, well, he didn't really forgive me. And you're right. If you ever really forgive.
No, I have something.
I'm the type of person, I know some of you women especially, you get one thing at somebody and it takes you for years to get over it. I don't know why you're like that. I wish you wasn't. You are. Some of the dumbest little old things. Women can get mad at each other over the silliest things. I mean, stay mad for years. Now, sometimes it's something big. Most of it is. I'm the type of person, I like to get along with people. I think some people just like to be mad. They get some kind of a thrill out of being mad. But I don't know, they just love to be mad at somebody all the time. And they pick them out somebody to get mad at. You know, a person like that's got problems, bro. They got problems. I like to. Everybody get along, man. Let the good times roll. Let's have a big time. Hallelujah. Grin at each other. Hug next. Hey, man, that's the way I am. I'm naturally that way. Matter of fact, I've smoothed over stuff like you folks wouldn't believe to try to keep peace and harmony. I put myself in the middle. I said, take that on me. Hit me here. I've done that a lot of times. Just so people get along and have some like each other. There's at least one person in my life that I think is bad against. Bad. Once you really get into somebody, hard. I mean, when you really hate somebody, bro, it's hard. God don't do it. You can't do it like that. You can't do it. You say, I don't want to feel this way. I know I shouldn't hate them, but I do. God has to do it. You dream about beating them up in your sleep. Have you ever done that? Raise your hand. Oh! I have done beating their teeth out, kicking them, stomping them. I've dreamed that before. You got to get over. You gotta get it. You can't keep living like that. You can't keep going on. Your life will hate. Oh, you don't know what they done to me.
Now, I don't know what all you done against the Lord either. He sure has been awful merciful to you. And then, the last thing is when you do get around them or they come back to church, provide them the right atmosphere. Make them feel comfortable.
You make the circumstances. Okay, Brother John, you come here and sit down right here and see. Now, Brother Dale, you come, Brother Ralph, you come, Brother Bobby, you come. Come on, brethren. Okay, let's just say he ain't got on no tie. He's in backslid. Let's start with him here. Oh, backslid. Johnny McKinney. I heard he got drunk last week. He ought to be up there. Everybody at the church knows. God said him. All right, here comes me and these brethren. Come on, brethren. Here we come in church. All right, here we come in. Hey, Brother Al. Hey, man. Hey, Brother Al. Glory to God, brother. Hey, Bob. Hey, man.
Hey, I hope he gets right. God, I say, boy, hey, you see this person?
Oh, Lord, give me a blessing. Oh, glory to God. I don't know if you would believe this word over here. Let's go in here, boy. Let's sing and cry. Hallelujah. Come on, boy. Let's go sing and cry. Hey, money. Glory to God. Hey, man. Hallelujah. Boy, we're making him feel good, ain't we? And we see him about it. Oh, you see? And you look that way, brother. You look that way. Well, I'm looking at it. Sinful thing. Look at that. Sinful. And I've noticed that the women, you know which women they hate? Women. That's the truth. The women always hate the ones that pretty because deep down inside they're jealous of them. Well, they're getting at the ugly ones. They'll fire them. If they miss church time for you, say, bless her heart, she needs our prayers. Honey, it's the pretty one starting that heifer, that hussy. Honey, she probably ain't gonna tell what she's doing. It's always the pretty one. I bet you think your husband thinks she's pretty, and that's why you hate her guts. I didn't plan on saying that. I'll say it anyway. Okay. Now watch here. Now, he's gonna look at me. I'm staring at him. What's what I do when he starts looking at me? You look back that way, brother. I felt him starting to look at me, and I turned my head. How many of you ever seen anybody do that? You feel them starting to look at you, and when you see their head turn, you look this way. You kind of do that. All right, now what should our attitude be? Okay, come on, boy, let's try again. Brother Donnie comes in. He's been back clear for a while. He sits down on the back row. Here we come in. Brother, good to see you. How's everything been going? Amen. Amen. Good to see you. Praise the Lord. Has everything been going all right? Praise the Lord. It's a blessing to see you. Amen. Now, don't you think you'd say, I love you. He's going to come up and he's going to come up here to the altar. He's going to rededicate his life. And he's going to be restored. And he's going to say, Lord God, I love you. There is no telling how many people have had a life of God. Because churches in this town have had a lifelong attitude. You know, when Carissa was in the hospital, it didn't feel right. I was worried about it. And I go home, especially at night, man, on the bed. I go to bed at night and I think, my daughter's lost down in the hospital. I pray for her, I glory God. We've got brothers and sisters in our family. The devil's daughter, they've got kids. And our mind ought to be on them. And like I said, I could call some names. Probably 50 or 60. Why don't we get some of them? I'm not saying someone and say, not a fault. Don't put on a fault. They can tell it. They can tell it. You don't mean it. If you don't really mean it, you better off leaving one. I'm just saying. I mean, don't go over and say it. And they can tell you just putting it on because, you know, I preach on it. Really love you. It's so awesome. Considering myself, it may be you. I want to say tonight to anybody who's here, if you fell by the wayside and I haven't shown you the love that I ought to show you, don't you know I'm sorry. Maybe it's my pride, maybe it's just my own stubborn. Don't you know I'm sorry. Don't you know I do love you. I love you as much as I love somebody who hasn't left you. And I'd be just as much for you as I would somebody who is a deacon or a preacher or a Sunday school teacher or what. I'd do just as much for you as I would them. I'm not trying to sound holy or pious. I mean that tonight. I'm trying to tell you. Don't you let the devil tell you, lady. Don't you let the devil tell you, Brother Danny's going to play favorites when he likes them because they do this and he don't like me. That's a lie. I'm crazy over some people come to this church and ain't even there. I think about you during the week and pray for you. And how I'd love to see you get in there and get on fire for God. I mean that. I think maybe somebody here tonight got something they need to get right. Maybe the Lord ain't going to let us start a new church until we get a lot of things right and don't do that right. I don't know. I ain't saying it. I don't know. Thank God for what he's done for us. We're a long way from person. It's time we die. Humble ourselves before each other.
Walk up that brother. Put your arm around that. Put it on you.
Get it,
help!